We'll start, I think, a really important shiur for as we start the golos of Sefer Shmos. So we talk about being muvdal. We know that the nation of Israel had this chus of being goel because they were shalim. Shaloshimu et shimam, Shaloshimu et Lashon and Malbush. They didn't change their clothing, they didn't change their Lashon, their names. So I wanted to talk about Goyish names, obviously something that you can't change on yourself necessarily, but certainly something in the Mirtz Hashem in the future you could think about. I want to dedicate this year L'Zecher Nishmas HaRav Rav Ziel Shevach, who was murdered al Kiddush Hashem last night, Rachmana Latzlan, in a terrorist attack on the road in the Shomron. It's a wonderful family of six, very, very difficult time for Klal Yisrael, and Mirtz Hashem, he should be a Melitz Yosher. Also, last night in the Shomron. And I also want to dedicate this year for Refuah Shlema, for my father-in-law is having back surgery tomorrow, Tzvi Ben Pesha. Rebbeinu Shlomo should make sure that the success of the surgery is successful. Should Refuah Shlema B'soch Shar Chole Yisrael. So before we begin, I just want to give you a little bit, play the little name game. Talk about the importance of names. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Zayin Amud Beis says the choice of a name is something very significant. We know that the name influences the lifelong spiritual ability of a person. It quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Memvav, Tes, Lachen Chazu, Mifpa'alot, going through the works, Hashem Shemot, Be'eretz. And it says, Al Tikru Shamot Ela Shemot. We see that Hashem goes through the world with his great works, and really the word Shamot is desecration, desolation. It says Shemot, that God picks the names in the world. So it means that when a parent picks a name for a child, it's actually divine. You have what we call Sata Deshmaya. The Rabbanu Shalom helps in that. The Baal Shem Tov says that the word shame comes from the word neshama. Neshama has shame in it. It's the person's neshama. In fact, the Noam Elimelech on Parsha Shmos actually says that when you choose a name, that's also the name that the neshama will take upon himself, which is something very significant as well. Rav Hirsch says the word shame comes from the word sham. Sham is their place. It's your place. It's your profound effect that you will have on the world. So it's something very, very scary almost. There's a whole different Torah which we'll discuss when we see Rav Moshe's Tshuva, not just on Goyish names, about what type of name a parent should choose. Should we keep it to names of Tanakh names, or can we have these new names that are quite popular now? Certainly here in Eretz Yisrael, you know, you don't have as many Avrams anymore and Moshe's. You have a lot more Nirs and Shira, and those are just the easier ones, and Mayans, and things that are actually, they're Hebrew, but they're not actually Tanakh names. And this is something that specifically we'll discuss, but Rav Chaim Kanievsky is very, very against. He writes it very, very strongly that he thinks that names should only be Tanakh names. There's also, of course, the question of who do you name for? If you're naming for someone who was less than a righteous person, what do you do in that case? So we'll hopefully get a little bit to this, but before that, I want to be able to see this important idea. The Midrash Tanchuma, commenting at the end of the Torah in Parshas Ha'azinu, Zechor Yimois Olam. So he writes, always be careful what you name your child, because Ben Latov Ben Lara, Ki Lefa'amim Hashem Gorem Latov Ulefa'amim Lara. The name has a great effect on a person. So I quoted here from last week's parasha, Pastor Shmos, the Klei Yakar, who says beautifully the following thing. It says, Ve'elu Shmos b'nei Yisrael, and it talks about Reuven, Shimon, v'chulu. B'schus arba devarim nigla al-voseinu b'mitzrayim. He actually says that it's four different things. As we discuss, Shemam, Lashon, v'chulu. And then he says, Shekol Shemos hashvatim nikra et Shema gula. He goes, as we know, and we went through the parashios of Bereishis, so we know that each of the names that were given were very specific names. We see in the Torah exactly what it meant. Reuven ra raosi es oni ami. Shimon al shem vayishma lokim es nakosam v'kokulam lefizeh. Im hayu mishanim es shemam, if they change their name, lo hayu lahem rashum hagu'ula v'lo hayu ro'im lihigael. So what does this mean? Says the Klei Yakar, they wouldn't know, if they didn't have these names, they wouldn't know about the gula. So I don't understand. What does this mean? They won't have names of gula anymore. But he says even stronger. He says, if they didn't talk Hebrew anymore, even though they didn't change their names, they wouldn't know what their names meant. Right? If you had the name that was Roy Baoni, okay, Reuven, and now you're only talk English, you have no idea what your name actually means. Right? So even though you were given a name from the Tanakh, which now you would call a Bible name, if you don't understand what it meant, so that's why the schus of also being able to talk Lashon HaKodesh. Mora Reuven Sham, Roy Raosiani, that you understand what that means. So that's what the Kleoker says. Beautiful idea. Now, we can understand as well that this is actually going to be a big question for us. Excuse me for being so bold. You who live outside of the land of Israel, and okay, I could be included in Ramat Beit Shemesh in this. So our dress is quite similar to that of the Goyim. Our Lashon generally is in English. You know, once in a while I get the zechus of speaking Hebrew. And therefore, the name is going to play maybe a big role of being moved on. How do we show the differences between who we are? So came along the Maharam Sheik. This is like, the in my opinion, the Marshal Tshuva, an old Tshuvas of names. The Maharam Sheik was forced to choose a last name by the Gentile nations. And he decided to choose the name Sheik, as he writes, because Sheik stands for Shem Yisrael Kodesh. And he went betokif like crazy about names. And he writes as follows. Obviously, this is only part of the tshuva here in source number 2. Yeridea Simon Kuf Samach Tes. Om nam shein ani yodea lichanot osa mikol makom ra'isi shiroi leheshiv ala dover. I have to ask this question that was asked. Sheyesh b'nei Adam shemuchonim atzman b'shem agoyim. They started to pick names that are goyish names. Umalas nirali hochiach es divrei ma'arei mi medrash shishchus zel lo. She knew it, Shemam. Didn't the Medras tell us that the schus of Geula was because they didn't change their names? Zachinu, let's say, Mitzrayim. B'meshi yesh lahem, shem Yehudi likrasam, bo la'alo l'torah, v'zeh dover ha'pol v'tipshus, ki bevada yesh v'zeh iser de'oraisa, says the Maram Sheik. Now this is really offensive, I'm sorry to say. Even though, what do you think you're so from? Because you're going to say, wait, this doesn't apply to me. I have a Hebrew name. I get called up to the Torah, right? And then you get called up to the Torah, and people are like, what? I thought your name was Daniel. No, it's Dov Menachem. Says the Maram Sheik, that's a problem. The Rambam already writes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Mikra, Malei Ne'amar, right? The Kidashim, the Evdil Eschem Min Ha'amim, Lios Li. So he says, how does the Maram Sheik come up with an Issa Daraisa over here? He quotes a Pasuk. The Rambam's Pasuk, Parshas Kedoshim, the Evdil Eschem, you have to be different. Min ha'amin. Right? We know B'chusem Lo Seilechu. But he writes, the Evdil Eschem. I have to show that I'm different. And therefore we say, the Osi Limdot Lahem, we can't be similar to them. We can't copy them. Over El Amashane Amar, the Osir Lanu Demos Lahem, the Shem Shosir Lanu Demos Lahem, Bimabusham, Balichatam, Vushar Minhagim. Okay, this is a different shir on Chukas Agayim, how exactly we're different. Rav Moshe, I think, also has a Marshal Tshuva. Rav Moshe says that there's no problem wearing Goyish dress. All of a sudden, you know, something became popular, a suit. This is where the suit come from. Right, we all know who doesn't wear a suit on Shabbos. Now you could even tie it, you know, like even the Haredim wear suits. So what happened? Why are suits okay? So you could be, maybe you could be Melamed Tzchus and say, well, they wear their old styles, so they're not exactly with it. You know, nowadays I don't know what's in today. You know, there was one time there was 4 buttons and the 3-button suit. Now back to the 2-button suit. So if you wear the 4-button suit, Nebuch, you're still from the 90s. Okay, so that's good because Yivdil, that's actually the Minchas Chinuch, I think, says. Minchas Chinuch, I think, writes. He talks about the famous question everybody always asks. Yeah, okay, so the Hasidim are being different because they dress like the 1600s? That's what they used to wear, nobility. It's not Jewish dress. So says the Minchas Chinuch, yeah, that's true. As long as you're a generation behind, that's fine, right? Except when sometimes, you know, culture repeats itself and people start wearing bekeshes, you know, again. I guess then they'll have a problem. But says the Maharam Sheik, that this is a problem. How are we going to show that we're different? Rav Moshe Feinstein, yes, says that we could wear, right? Because, again, that's not chukas agoyim. You can't tell me that it's chukas agoyim to go ahead and wear a non-Jewish dress, right? Because they made it for you. You can't tell me that anybody created clothing and said, oh, no, Jews cannot wear this clothing. Okay, there's that rumor of Tommy Hilfiger said, but that's not true. There was a rumor, and then they put him on, it was on the Oprah Winfrey, the president of the United States, next president, that he said that if I knew that blacks and Jews would wear my clothing, I would have never made it before. He never said that. It's a good hype on Facebook. He never said anything like that. Then I was thinking, what about Damon John, the owner of FUBU, stands for you, by you, clothing that was made for the African-American community. Yep. So I found out that that's not true either. First, apparently, there were some part owners that were that were Jewish as well of it, I think. And also, he doesn't care if Jews buy it. Nobody's going into the store. What are you doing? You can't wear that. Fine.
I had a Jewish friend who interned for him.
For him?
Yeah.
He's a good guy, I'm sort of told. Yes.
But for Chukas HaGoyim, let's say someone is on a certain level of, that's like he's holding to an extent that, let's say, like there's clothes that he owns. He got it when he was younger because he wanted to stand out. Let's say, I don't know,
to be goyish.
I don't know. Not goyish, but like just like stand. I don't know. Like I have a lot of these like Ralph Lauren, like the big pony ones. You know those like yeah, giant.
I'll take
like,
them.
Stand
I'll take
ones.
I'll take them from here. I don't think. You know, it's funny. I remember when my brother-in-law became a rabbi of a big shul, so I inherited a lot of his fancy shirts that he couldn't wear anymore because he had to wear white and black. I don't. You're right. Even though maybe you bought it, but again. I don't think that dress, first of all, some of it is much more kabbadik than, wearing a polo shirt, let's say. Just an example. But I don't think you can go ahead and say that's a specifically goyish dress. The only thing I ever questioned, I was trying to think of something that would fit into that category, the famous Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. The Ramah speaks about, wearing big day pritzus. Quotes the Maharik with the white cape that they used to wear for doctors and said, of course that's mutter, because it's to show the differences of different people have to wear uniforms. So I don't think, the only thing I thought of is low-ride pants, right? People wear pants dafka low because they want to be like the gangs. The gangs wear low-ride pants because in jail you're not allowed to wear belts. So it's to show they're your gang. That I think is also, for a woman to wear non-sneistic clothing, doesn't just violate the Isser of sneis. It also violates Chukas HaGoyim, because the Goyim are wearing, let's just pick a low-cut shirt, because the woman wants to be alluring to other men. That's a problem. That's a problem, because you're violating Chukas HaGoyim and Pritzos.
And what about for a man when it comes to like walking around with like a tank top? Or like a...
The question is that forget about Chukas HaGoyim. Is there any level of sneers for a man where we say, so we know obviously he can't walk around naked, so it's a good question, right? Even if, let's say he's wearing a tank top, obviously, in tzitzis. Do we say that there's a level where it's not appropriate, right? Some wanted to say that there's some tshuvas, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Sternbach, I think, has a tshuva about not wearing shorts. I don't know if that's a fair statement to say that, short, that's going to be, Baruch Hashem, I think what's a wonderful thing, last night I went to visit my son in Yeshiva Mitzvah Yericho, so these kids are all, they're wearing jeans, and they happens to be in his yeshiva, they require button-down shirts, but in many yeshivas you'll go, and merkaz, you have the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, and they're wearing a t-shirt. So what? So that's what we have to wear a uniform. Again, it's true, the clothes make a man, just as far as the business world, that's true, that if a person dresses a certain way, I remember, just parenthetically, I interned one summer for Michael Bloomberg. So somebody said to me, oh, you interned for him? I go, no, I didn't intern for him, but I have to sit in front of him the entire summer. And I used to come in like a schlub every day. I was wearing, obviously a shirt and pants. So a year later, I invited him, I can't believe he said yes to this, but invited him to YU to speak at, we had a Cy Sims course that they took, a CEO course, and he agreed. He said, listen, if you were my employee, I would never say no to you, even though he wasn't a big fan of YU. But that's just a separate point. So I was wearing a suit. I think I introduced him even. And when we were done, he said, hey, come in the limousine with me, let's talk. So we were talking, he said, I just have to tell you something. He says, you look normal now. So when you're interviewing, you look like, I didn't say a schlub, but he says, this is the way a person should dress. You want to be successful in business. You got to wear clothing like this. Now, that was the opposite of, I was wearing my Shabbos clothes, really. So you can't say that's different. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
So in like 400 years, and everybody's wearing this crazy futuristic jumpsuits or whatever, are you going to be wearing like t-shirt and jeans?
Yeah. Should we wear t-shirt and jeans?
Or like, would Haredi like, instead of wearing...
No, I think they're always going to wear black. Black has some sort of connotation. When a person's wearing... Right. When a person's wearing... I was watching a video a few days ago, and it was a big event of a big Torah speaker. And you see the event, it's all black. And I just see like a guy in the middle, and he's wearing like a, you know, an orange shirt or something. That's what they wear. They don't want to stand out. They're you know, to be pashut, that they shouldn't stand out. So there's something to say to that. There's something unique in that. So I think they always will wear that. Are you violating l'chosem l'silechu? So certainly not. A person could wear, you know. Again, a person has to think to himself what's appropriate or not. I'm not going to go ahead and don. You know, I happen not to wear jeans. I have a son who wears jeans. I don't think that makes a big difference in who it is. Would I tell him to go on a job interview wearing jeans? No, we know that. So we know that there's something different about it. This is the whole talk that one could have as well about the topic of Shabbos. How should Shabbos dress look? I don't know if you guys know this, but apparently there's a new rule in the yeshiva this year that on Shabbos you're supposed to wear a white shirt. Apparently they didn't tell anybody about it yet. It had something to do with the Hesed. I remember in one of my last Rebbe meetings here, the fight about it. And I was very big for it. Rav Govucht, who's here today, Rav Govucht always taught us that. It's a Shabbos, you wear a white shirt. I don't care, you don't want to wear a suit. You wear a white shirt and a nice pair of pants. That's what you do.
So that you should be different
It should be different the weekday, because what happens? Guys come in, besides the polo shirts, which I think is also. But is it?
We're like buttoned down.
We're buttoned down, a nice buttoned down Banana Republic shirt. I'm not saying there's anything. When you wear a white shirt, you just feel very different because you don't normally wear a white shirt. It's your Shabbos shirt. I don't know. I hear the word. I instruct my kids that they should, you know, if they can, unless there's no shirts left, should wear a white shirt on Shabbos. So,
sweaters.
So the Maharam Shik says, that just to finish off the Ram Sikh, his raya that he brings, which is going to be interesting in a moment, is the Tosfos and Gin. Tosfos and Gin, where Das Lama Dalet says, B'shem Rabbeinu Tam, Shechas V'sholoim, L'hazkir Shem Nochri Beget, Afilu Beget She'enu Tzorchem Liyois, Nizah L'chtoiv Al Shem Mosem Yitam Zeh, Uflim E'en Koisvim B'shem Get, Oy Nebuch Lo Leinu Chas V'sholoim, that they started to have to write Gittin with names of Goyshe names. The Georges and all these different things are terrible. So I don't know if that's such a raya, because if you look at the writings of Rav Shlomo Kluger, Rav Shlomo Kluger, Meforish quotes the Gemara in source number 3, the Gemara in Gittin, the Daf Yud Aleph, which is this Gemara. You know, again, this is Daf Lamed Aleph, but if you look at Lamed Aleph, and Meforish says, Gin habam medina sayam, ve'edim choysim imaleim, afal pi shumatim shumosim givoli kuchavim, and they had on it Goyish name, so maybe it's Pasol. He says, no. Right, and says Rav Kluger that that's exactly it. We started living amongst the Goyim and we started getting their names. We all know the name, for example, Alexander. So the way Alexander came, because at some point in history they wanted to show kavod, right? They wanted to show kavod to Alexander. They wanted to show kavod to, right? And they started taking their names. Okay, so there's some different stories about different names. Some of it was forced upon them. My father's name happens to be Clonimus. So, right, that's also was a form, not Jewish names. We'll see Rav Moshe in a second. Rav Moshe speaks about this and says, okay, that's what happened with the days. But to go ahead, so we see that it was done. Now, and also, in my humble opinion, The Tosfos in Gittin spoke about a mumer, supposed to be a Nebuch, a person who lost religion, and go ahead and change his entire name, right? This is not so much by you don't have this problem as much by Kiddushin. By Gittin, you have more of a problem. Somebody told me a story. I spoke in the shul last Shabbos, so I spoke a little bit about this inyan, and a guy came up to me and he told me that when he got married, so he was just moving to Eretz Yisrael, he's French, and his name is Gael. So he told me that Rav Ariel, the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, I think, stepping down or stepping, I forgot. And so Rav Ariel said to him, "Vus Gael, what kind of name is Gael? That's not a Jewish name." So he said, "Yo, what are you going to write in the Ksuvah?" He says, no, I get called up to the Torah as Chaim. Probably what the Maharam Shik was saying, right? We all have, you know. So he says, "That's nice, but that's not your name. Your name's Gael." So he says, "With all due respect, can I ask you a question? What about Herschel? Herschel's not a Jewish name, it's a Yiddish name. And whatever, Velvel and all these different things, the derivations of Jewish names." But he says, okay, it's a good point. Keep Gael, you know. So the shaila is that what do you write on the ksuva? So we generally okay. So we see that okay. It wasn't the greatest thing, but this person on the ksuva. So we can't go ahead and say that on the ksuva we have a problem over here, right? Because that's his name. Again, sometimes they write Meim HaMechuna, this is the different names that he went by, so that nobody should have any Shaila when they see it again. I actually had this problem, now that I think about it, A few years ago, I had the great schuss of helping somebody from Beit Shemesh make a wedding. I collected money from America for them to have a wedding. So when I got to the wedding, they surprised me by saying they wanted to give me a kavod, and they wanted me to sign the ksuva. So I was very against it because it was a Bukharian wedding and I didn't understand what was going on, even though I'm Orthodox Jew, I didn't know what they were doing. And this apparently very famous Bukharian rabbi called me over, he says, no problem, whatever. And so I signed the ksuva. So he was quite dumbfounded because number one, the woman who introduced me said, Zerav Daniel, and then I signed the ksuva, Dov Menachem and Klonim is Kalman. So he says to me, what the heck is Klonim Miskam? I've never heard the name Klonim Miskam before. He's a Bukharian, right? And Dobanah, I say, explain to him, whatever. So under the chuppah, when they read the ksuva, which they also, I was the aide for the handing over the ksuva. So he says, Hakol Sharim Bekayim Nu'um. And the Bukharian rabbi, besides the fact that I have horrible handwriting, looks at it and he goes, David Menachem ben Klonimus l'mishmachat Kalman. Wasn't close. I couldn't fit Hartstein in. The line was too short. So, fine. Okay, that was a little bit embarrassing. Yishkoyach. Done. Oh, no, it's not done yet. A week after the wedding is over, when they decided, I don't know what exactly, it was something with the ksuva, this rabbi realized that he had made a mistake on the ksuva. I don't know what exactly. I don't know if a mistake or they wanted to redo it. So, I get a call from him. And he says, I have to ask you a question. Yishbayapo. Because I know what it was. I'm sorry. They were handing it in to the Rabbanut HaRashit. Right? After you get married, you have to be certified, if you will. And the Rabbanut asked, "Who's this yokel whose name is David Menachem in Kolonim Kalman, the Mishpacha?" He says, "What's your real name? What's it?" So I said, "Wait a minute. First of all, it's Dov Menachem. I have it." He goes, "Ani lo mevin otcha. Yesh lecha shem Tanachi Daniel, avos lo shem shelcha." I was going with the whole pilpul, and I'm trying to explain to him the five towns, and it didn't make any sense. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, I think everything was okay. I told him, you want somebody else to sign this ksuva? Stop bothering. Fine. So now Rav Moshe comes onto the scene. Rav Moshe comes onto the scene, he doesn't get the Maram Shek. He thinks he's a little bit too strict. And he was asked the following question. The question was as follows. A family, Baruch Hashem has a baby girl, and they want to name the girl after the mother who had passed away, right? With the grandmother of the baby. And let's say the baby's name was something like the grandmother's name was no longer alive, was, I forgot, Drezel or something like that. And she said, well, that's not a real name. It's a Goyish name. It's not a Goyish name. It's a Yiddish name. Whatever it is, maybe the name was a little bit different. So he says like this, V'ni ha-dover, shemo shel laz, shekasafti, af, shehu dover maguna. I admit to you, it's not the greatest thing. Eino usser. It's maguna. It's not a good thing, but it's not aser shalachen chazinan shekama shemot shelaz mikol medina medina aser b'meshach hazman. What are you talking about? We said before there are plenty of names that came from Gaisha sources that are used now, and he's going to give some great examples. The ash is something to say about mitchila that these shemot ben Yisrael achikara kvar shemot Yisrael b'shemot nashim hein biyoter etzlenu even women b'nei Ashkenaz hein b'shemos Ashkenaz mikdor leisafar arbe. And don't tell me this is an Ashkenaz thing. Sfaradim also have this problem. He goes, and let's not move any farther to the famous Rishon Ravidl. What's Vidl? Excuse me, he says. Let's not go farther then. The Rambam's father, Maimon? That's not a Jewish name. Aviv shel Rambam, kanireh. Shehu al shem laz, l'chein chas v'shalom lanu, lomar shelo, asu kahagun. You're going to tell me all these rabbis didn't do Kahagun? They all had Goyish names? Again, it's not fair. I don't mean it in a negative way. But says Rav Moshe, what are you saying? These are famous names. In the Shonot, the Kwab, as Bino, Oshem, Bito, Shem, Hazkan. He goes, now you want to change the name because you say, oh, that's a Goyish. My grandmother had a Goyish name? That's not fair to say. Rekwal, Shem, Horav, Mamish, Chaya, Bechvoda. It's a great cover to the mace to be called that way. The gam bidivrei chazal b'midrashim isha shekorim achshav Habanim v'habanos al shem doros hakodmos. The Medrash already tells us this. This was a great schus that we named after the dorot hakodmos. L'sarech l'kro kifi hashem shirekro afshehu shem las. Below Shinoah, you shouldn't change the name. Okay, so there's a different problem over here. Sometimes you have a name, this is not what the case is, where the husband's like, listen, I love your mother, but I don't like the name Asnat, right? I don't like the name, whatever the name might be. It's very difficult, right? So what are we going to do? He says, that's different. But he says, here, he writes, Hacha b'shah toiva, mutzlacha v'halit yabas tikra. So you could call her something. He has a different problem. So he says, Rav Moshe, this is not exactly our inyan, but he says, but the fact is that she died young. This woman died young, the grandmother. So he says, that might be a different inyan. And there, you might want to change the name a little bit. Or maybe you want to add an emes. Her name was, what did we say, Dreisel? So you say Dreisel Freida, or something like that. That you could do. Now the question is, what does that mean? You're not allowed to be, and I'm sure you might have heard this before, you're not allowed to be named for someone who died young. So Rav Henkin has a beautiful idea. I saw quoted Rav Henkin, who was the before Rav Moshe, who was like the Gadol in America. So he died at 92. So someone once asked him, they said, about naming for someone like that. He says, listen, I was named for an uncle who died at 30. And he said, all should live as long as I live. So he said, if it's a bad skula, because I'm 92 years old now. So, you know, I wasn't 92 at the time, I don't think. But he said, Baruch Hashem at that time. So the question is, what exactly is that age? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, the age is 60. The person died before 60, maybe. I think Rav Moshe says, after 52, we're not concerned. Everybody's named Shlomo, everybody's named Shmuel, and they died early, before 52. Some say, no, if you died early, I think this is Rav Moshe, if you died early with no children, so maybe that's it. And others say, no, what about the case of Yibun? You do name a child? I don't know. However, all seem to say, I think Rav Moshe says this as well, if the spouse is against the name for that reason, because they're afraid that the person died young, so then maybe that would be, you know, a reason not to do it. Rav Moshe continues and says, V'nei be'etzem matzino harbe shemot shel amoraim, kigon Rav Papa, Rav Zibid, Rav Zutra, that were not Jewish in their source. Vod harbe me'ha'ga'oinim rabim shenikra b'shem aramit. Aye, so maybe you're going to tie in that Aramid is different because it's like Loshon HaKodesh, he writes. But still, we know these names were there. And he says, V'hine, yeh shvachon lamar, zeh shvacho chazal. Begolos Mitzrayim, shol shinam ha'shomam, just like we said and we started with, Aye, is an Eil Shemos B'nei Yisrael, they didn't change your names. What do you do with that? He writes, Ah, zeh haya kodem matan Torah. That was before Hatam Torah. Delo haya heker. There was no heker. What does heker mean? There's no difference. What difference did you know? They looked like... so they had to make a heker. How do we show that we're different? Somebody told me that the Netziv, I think, writes that one of the reasons why the Jews fell into the state that they were in is because at some point they moved from Goshen. If you remember from Parshas before, right, Vayechi, and even before, they lived in Eretz Goshen. Why they live in Eretz Goshen? They wanted to be moved on. They wanted to live in their, you know, their tinek. They wanted to live in their, you know, they wanted to live in their place where they could, they didn't. So the fact was is that when they started to move, what did they have? So they didn't change these three important things. Heker gadol b'shul kiyam ha-mitzvos, right? The b'nei Noach who prached chelikem nebuch. A lot of the Jews were actually Ovid of Rezara, right? That's why they didn't only 600,000 left from Mitzrayim. Rubam lo malus b'neihem. And not all of them was aval acher matan Torah ein lanu chiyuv midina the gamlo miinyanei zihiruz umusar ella mashnit stavu hatariyag mitzvos. So we have the Torah today. That's moved all us. That's what shows the difference with us. So that would be potentially different. Now, it's true. Rav Moshe writes in another true. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Yoredei Chelik Bei Siman Kuf Chaf Gimel, quoting the Yamshel Shlomo, that maybe you should change certain names. He writes that most people, right, I think, their names are not Yeshayahu, but Yeshaya. Yeshaya. Why? Because he died young. So maybe there is something that could be said of this. Right? So that would be a question. As I said before, I don't want to get on the topic too much, Rav Chaim was asked over and over again this question. And when people said that they asked such a question to him, so Rav Chaim asked about what we would call Jewish names. Ari, Orin, Aviva, Shira. He was very against it. A guy came to him, I like this joke, but it's a true story. Guy came to him and said, I want to name my daughter Shira. He says, no, you can't. He says, I know, but she was born Mamash Shabbos Parsha Shira. He says, and what if she was born on Parshas Parah? Right? You're going to name her Parah? So he says, that's not a Raya. He was very, very against this Inyan. So I don't know what to say. Rav Moshe clearly allowed it. He quoted the Yamshul Shlomo. The Yamshul Shlomo clearly allowed it as well. The Maharam Shik, very against it. Just a final word is the Minchas Asher. Rav Asher Weiss writes about this in last week's Parsha, and he says, the Efshar. He goes, I have a pshara. He doesn't like Rav Moshe necessarily. Right, this is the only Rav Asher Weiss can do this. He says all the time, yeah, Rav Moshe says Rav Moshe. I don't agree with that. He says, here's the answer. Ready? The Efshar lefi darkam lifareish es divrei chazal shiloshi mushamam lishonam umalvush dahainu ikar hekpeda lo shalo lishonot shalos tam. The hekpeda, listen to this, was not to change all three of them. Yachad bitul kol haheker she Yisrael hu v'yital ben anochrim. I need something. Give me something to show that you're different from the Goyim. So one of the three. So if you have a Goyish name, make sure not to dress like them. If you have a Goyish name and you dress like them, make sure to speak Hebrew only. He says one of the three. Bitul haheker she Yisrael. So I think this is what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says, you don't need to have all three of those because we have the Torah today. That's what, okay. He doesn't agree with that, I guess. Aval ain't Isser Kasher Noik who Bechol Dover Ki Yisrael. If he acts like a Yisrael, Mishum Shitzorach Mesuyam Kigon Machzor Kedome Hu Mishana Shemo O Levusho O Lishono. If he has one of them, then it's Mutter. Ube Emes Hayanira the Gam Kavanas Amaram Shik Shein Elo B'Mishem Moisam B'Shemos Nochem Kidei Lidamot Bahem. Rav Shik saying, I picked the guy's name because I want to be a Mark. I want to be a Paul. I want to be a Luther, right? I want to be like them. But if it was, number one, just because that became names that are used today, not Luther as much, not Chris as much. But we know Mark is a name that's
Mark
used.
Mark with the C, then.
Right. Oh, you're going to, right. Right. Mark with a C, or, right? Okay. So those are names that are different. Even the Maharam Shik might agree to that. Lead the most level of deal. Made us Israel. Because that might be Muslim. B'Shem HaSa Kadosh HaGoyim. Ain. If I'm just doing it because that's what the Gemara before says. We're living amongst the Goyim and we took their names. But we have the Torah. And it's known what the Chassam Sofer wrote, Yaakov Shalem. Shalem? Osio Shimam Lashonam Abusham Aval Ein Ze Ella Bemisha Chafso Bakach Bitumosla Nachrim. I'm not wearing this Goyish dress now because I want to look good. I like Tommy Hilfiger. I am wearing Tommy Hilfiger with Banana Republic and Michael Kors. It's okay. You're allowed to. I'm doing it because I look good. I want to look good. No problem, he says. Finally, Omnam Zos. However, Sof Dover, you should know that your name has tremendous shefa. Al Oda, v'kfar kosov Sam Soifel al Toro. The Hashem Korach Hayam Alpha Esav. Gorim lo Lekorach Sheikach Mekachra. Korach is Mekachra Laatzma. And listen to this, says the Sam Sofer. The Yikach Korach the Etzam Hashem Gorim Lecholara al Shem. If you didn't have the name, he wouldn't have done all the bad that he did. Because he had a bad name, right? That's a little bit what we said before in the name of the Medrash, Medrash Tanchuma. Lefamim Lera, Lefamim Letov. You have to be careful what a name is. And he quotes the B'nai Yisasra, who says, Al Pisov, V'chol Sefer, that Deporo, Melech Mitzrayim, Karl Miodos, what were their name? Shifra and Pur were their Hebrew names. But he called them what? Miriam and Yocheved. Because he wanted to give them Lechnis Bahem Tevora, the Tevor of the Nachrim. Very interesting. V'yadua bin Ba'alos B'shemos Yisrael. So, right? Yesh Bazesh Shefora. V'lo Rak B'shem Shnos V'yaldosam. You have to be careful. Again, the bottom line is, I understand, you didn't get to pick your name. But number one, your name has a very important effect on what and who you are. And you should recognize and realize this fundamental principle. That the name that you were given, right, has a tremendous, just give you an idea for that at the Shiva house of Naftali Frankel. So one of the Rabbanim was sitting there, and Racheli Frankel was telling over about, I think it was Rav Lau, the older Rav Lau, Yisrael Meir, was telling over how one of the mitzvahs that Naftali took upon himself, bidikduk, is the mitzvah of tefillin. And the mitzvah of tefillin was very special to him. And Nebuch, when they finally found him, so one of the things that tremendously bothered her is that I think the car was right, they burnt the car, so his tefillin were in the car. Because he took the mitzvah of tefillin so much. That was who he was. So Rav Lau was like shaking his head, and Racheli Frankel was looking at him, what? She says, Naftali. It's a shame tefillin in him. That's the mahut of who your son was, tefillin. Right? Rav Moshe Feinstein, they said, of course he was named Moshe, like Moshe Rabbeinu. So, right? You have sometimes these names. I remember once I was at a speech of Rabbi Krohn, right? His name is Pesach Krohn. So Rabbi Krohn said about how Shemos are very miyuchad. I'm sure he told amazing stories about that. He says, oh, look at my name. What does the word Pesach mean? Pesach. He says, to talk. He says, I became the biggest, one of the biggest speakers. He goes, and by the way, my second name is Yosef. Pesach Yosef. Yosef Lohosif. I talk and I talk and I talk. So God put him over to tell stories. Okay? So sometimes a shefa of a name could really be who we are. Sometimes we have to look into that. As I said, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave your parents Shlosha Shutvim Ba'adam. They gave your parents a very special Sat Hashmai when the name was chosen. And especially when it's after a grandparent to do that. You know, I've told my son, not unfortunately, but Baruch Hashem, I have a child who's named for my Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. So, you know, if I really want to give him Musar, I'm like, no, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, how can you be named for such a, you know? So you have to be careful now. You were named, sometimes it's Lara, it's not fair. You know, like, well, I didn't get to choose that name. Why are you calling me that? Okay, but again, the point is that in Ritz Hashem one day, we had Baruch Hashem, our last two children, So we didn't have anyone specific to name for. So those are the more difficult. When it's easy, so we had the last two boys. So we wanted to think, what should we do? So this was interesting. Now later on to think about, the great Sata Shmaya Mamish. Both of them the night before we still didn't have the name. It was pretty crazy. So our first son's name is Yonatan, meaning our second to last son who was born in Eretz Yisrael. They get a special bracha every Friday night. When we give a bracha to my kids on Friday night, they get the special brachas, and Baruch Hashem, you were born in Eretz Yisrael. I added a new one. I just added it a month ago. I added, Baruch Hashem, that you were born in Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, the undivided capital of Israel. After Trump, I thought that was, you have to add that. Okay, fine. So, Zchus Trump, I say that now. So, don't name your son Donald. Anyway, so fine. So Yonatan is Hashem Natan. I thought that was beautiful, and the second name is Roy, named it for Roy Klein, who died al Kiddush Hashem. And then when it came to our next boy, we were waiting for a girl. We thought we'd have another. We have one girl, so we thought we'd have another girl. I wanted to name for my grandmother, Chana Lufshut, but okay, that's not was it not in the cards. So the next one, we're like, what should we do? So we were thinking also different names. You know, these all these books. So there we named him Avishai. Avishai is Avishai. Shai is a gift. Avishai, my father's gift, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam's gift. So Shai is also from the word Shiloh. If you guys know Shiloh, was the Beis Hamikdash was in Shiloh. Shiloh is Shiloh, the Ribbono Shel Olam's gift that he gave to Klal Yisrael. Of course, the place to be able to be Makriv Korbanos. So I said, oh, we also live in Ramat Shiloh. Maybe I'll get a job in Levat Torah. And it worked out. Now I'm taking his name. No. So, right. Anyway, but so names have a tremendous shuffle when you think about it. And when you think about, right? Yehonatan, Hashem Natan. You're walking around with a name all the time. Hashem Natan. That's good. I always think that my parents had tremendous Sata Shemayim. My Hebrew name is Dov Menachem. So I think that's exactly who I am. Dov is the bear. Menachem is comforting. So I could be, probably be a tough guy. Back in the days, you guys remember, I could tell you, don't take food out of the, but at the end of the day, I was like, Rav Hartzi's a good guy. He's a good guy, So you got to have both of those sides. That sometimes works. Think about what the Shefa is of our names. And Amir Tzashem, with that, I think the most important thing is to show that we're moved on, show that we're different.
Do you think there's value to someone, like, let's say, like, they've been going by their Jewish name their whole life, let's say, like, Yosef or Menachem, or, yeah. like when they get to the, whether it's the business world or the working world, and their name, and they still go by, because you always say for Menachem, because, you know, you see people, let's say they have trouble pronouncing it, but like, they see that as your identity, kind of. Like, is there some value to that?
Yeah, I think there's tremendous value. First of all, I always would say that, in my humble opinion, no name should ever be changed without permission from your parents. Your parents chose your name. So let's say you have a guy whose name is Joseph. He goes his whole life Joseph. Now he goes to Israel for the year. And he's not, you know, all of his rabbis called him Yosef. He's a Yosef. And he comes home. And I think he has to ask permission. The parents said, do you mind? Now you're right that once he gets to the business world, so Joseph, everybody can pronounce. And he's like, what did you say your name was? Yosef? And he wants to do that because he wants to be moved on. He wants to show that he has got this weird name so that people, that's good. I actually give a lot of credit to my parents because I think my parents understood that if I went into the business world and my name was going to be Dove, so first of all, we're going to be called Dove all the time because they only know a Dove, Dove soap. And so I hear that. There's certainly infinite wisdom in that as well. Daniel, everybody knows the name. Nobody can mispronounce the word Daniel. Now, it happens to be that my name used to be Daniel, and when I moved to Israel, it's not Daniel anymore. It's Daniel. You know, like, it changed totally. Okay, but I think, again, as long as the parents have permission for it, there's something to be said for keeping the name that's, you know, authentic, again, to show that idea of being moved on.